Hello and welcome to my first sci-fi short. These are going to be quick and informative videos that hopefully will lay the groundwork for more videos in the future. I'd appreciate any feedback you can give on it, anything that you think is right, wrong, too confusing, too muddled. If I'm going over something too quick or it's still too in-depth, I'd appreciate any and all feedback that you can give on this topic. Anyway, without much further delay, let's get on with tonight's slideshow. Evidentially evident evidence. What is evidence? So hello and welcome to my first sci-fi short. The idea of the sci-fi shorts is a quick and informative video going over the basics of a topic and some common misconceptions, laying the groundwork for a more in-depth look at a later date. This video is on evidence, which is often a hot topic and one frequently misunderstood. So what is evidence for? So in short, it's to try and show if something is true or not. There are various theories of truth, and it can actually be difficult to prove anything true. What we can do is find things that raise or lower the probability of it being true. Lowering the probability of something being true is essentially raising the probability of something being false. So evidence is something that helps us conclude if something is true or false. As such, we could define it thusly: something indicative of a conclusion, something that raises the probability of a conclusion being true. Of course, there is a subjective part to evidence. The object requires an agent to examine it and conclude if it does indeed raise the probability of the conclusion being true. You see, objects do not become evidence on their own. This is why some people argue that certain things are not evidence, because they feel it does not raise or lower the probability of a conclusion, and thus we see that there is something to evidence that entails some form of subjectivism. Subjective evidence. What makes objects become evidence is the arguments around them. So in the first instance, we can see an object-agent relationship to make something evidence. For example, you're walking along the road and a man walks towards you with a rock covered in red liquid, and he seems to be quite deranged. The rock covered in red liquid is just that, a rock covered in red liquid. But we can use our experience of things that are red to think about what it could be. Blood and paint are the first things that might come to mind. We can consider the probability of each being on the rock being held by a man on the road. It seems more likely that this would be blood. We can use his behaviours to further provide ideas of what might have happened. There is a higher probability of it being blood than paint. His behaviours seem to indicate something aggressive has happened. It would indicate at this point that the man has hit someone with that rock. This may not be the case, of course. Under close examination, we might find that he actually just fell down a hill and hit his head on the rock, and that blood is actually his own. He's deranged because he is dazed and confused, and he's holding the rock for no real reason at all. Or it could even be that the rock isn't a real rock at all. He was returning home from the shops with one of those key hider thingies and accidentally tripped and fell and dropped the rock in some paint. The point is, though, that without a human to interpret the object, the rock with red liquid on is nothing more. It is the arguments that make something evidence. So can an argument by itself be evidence? If an object requires an argument to be evidence, is it the same in reverse? That is to say, does an argument require an object? It can be hard to think of something that is pure argument. We might not be thinking of things like testable, repeatable evidence, but if we were to discuss why we think someone loves or hates us, we would be examining their behaviours, the things they say, the things that you've heard them say to other people, and so on. There is still a form of object in the sense that they are a thing that acts, just nothing you can throw under a microscope. These behaviours raise the probability of a conclusion, so they are evidence. This is, of course, a little different to the rock. The rock with red liquid could be tested to find out what that liquid was, and if it was blood, who it belonged to. With the behaviors, it is less certain. They could be faking those behaviors. I mean, perhaps we could take samples, test for hormones, examine their brain under the MRI, but that wouldn't be as definitive as testing a liquid to find out if it was blood. It is also not something the average person can do, but I guess we can do it. So what about something even looser? Consider sitting at a bus stop. The bus is supposed to be there at 7:05. You know this because of the timetable. The timetable is the empirical evidence of when the bus will show. Having sat at the bus stop every weekday for the last year, the bus has only been on time once. It usually appears sometime between 7:10 and 7:15. On the one hand, we have empirical evidence, and on the other, we have a year's worth of experience. Your experience raises the probability of the conclusion the bus will be 5 to 10 minutes late being true, and therefore the experience itself is a form of evidence. It is, of course, not definitive. It is not saying that this will definitely happen. It is just saying that it's the most likely conclusion. Due to the empirical evidence, it would still be rational to get there just before 7:05, but due to your experience, you know not to get there too early and perhaps have something to entertain you for the 5 to 10 minutes you're most likely to be waiting. Of course, we then run into another problem. Experiences are not transferable except through testimony. If you arrive at the bus stop and ask when the bus is due, and I say 7:05, but it's usually 5 to 10 minutes late, you only have my word on that matter. You don't know me. You don't know if I'm an honest actor. But let's say you reason this way. He would gain nothing by lying about this. It's not common to lie about this sort of thing. Buses at this time in other areas are often late. You have no experience of me or this bus and bus stop, but you do have some arguments. A couple of those might be based on similar experiences, but they are not the same. However, your arguments raise the probability that I am telling the truth about my experience. It might be a different circumstance if you were my boss at work and I was telling you the bus was always late and that's why I was always late to work. All of a sudden, I have something to gain from you believing me. This again would be an argument that would lower the probability of me telling the truth and therefore raise the probability of me lying. So an argument can be a form of evidence, and well justified can even be a strong piece of evidence. You might argue that in no instance above was the object completely free, or was it the evidence completely object free? And I would agree, but it's not the same sort of object as a rock covered in red liquid. It is not a direct examination of an object, but an examination of past experiences and various inferences. We come on to logical arguments, such as syllogisms. You may have heard me speak about the Kalam before and hear about why it's valid, but I also think it unsound. I would still regard this argument as a form of evidence, though. So the Kalam is whatever begins to exist has a cause of its existence. The universe began to exist, and therefore the universe has a cause of its existence. Regardless of the holes that I feel I can easily poke in the Kalam, this sort of argument isn't a bad starting point. It is logically valid, even if you argue that it is unsound. People can make arguments that either support or detract from the various premises of the Kalam, such as virtual particles having no direct cause, our current knowledge of all things using inductive reasoning, the limits of our current knowledge and issues with inductive reasoning, the universe not being within itself, so perhaps not needing to apply the same rules, that the Big Bang is only the cause of the current state and we don't know of the before or even if there was one. And I'm sure you can think of many others both for and against the Kalam. I can, of course, make other arguments about the Kalam, and why I feel it's unsound, but my point here was not so much about the Kalam itself as it was about how an argument can raise or lower the probability of something being true, and therefore be counted as evidence. By the same token, something logically impossible can be used as evidence something cannot exist. Consider a square circle. Square and circle may well have been shapes defined by humans, but nonetheless, it is impossible to have a square circle. If something is square, it is not a circle. The only way you could do that would to be invent a new shape and call it a square circle, but that would be something new rather than an actual square circle. Perhaps an easier example would be a triangle that doesn't have three angles and three sides. Definitionally, that's what a triangle is. If it has four angles and sides, then it's some form of quadrilateral. The same can be said for arguments for and against the existence of gods. If a deity is described with certain characteristics, we could see if there are any consistencies with those characteristics. If a deity is perfect and loving and all-powerful being, arguments like the logical problem and evidential problem of evil greatly lower the probability of that deity existing without some heavy caveating and frankly unconvincing and weak excuses. Although here is the subjective element to evidence again. Whilst I find them weak excuses, others do not. Those arguments do not raise the probability of a deity existing for me, yet they do for another. Therefore, it's fairer for me to say that those excuses are evidence against the evidential problem of evil, but I find it weak and unconvincing evidence. To be truly justified in my position, I ought to explain why, though this is an article about evidence rather than justification, so we shall stay the course. Holy books. The common trope, the Bible is the claim, not the evidence, is kind of inaccurate too. The Bible is essentially a book of stories from various people, much like you would find in a history book. It is people that make the claims that these stories are true. History is an incredibly difficult one as well. The further back you go, the less and less likely you are to find anything to verify it. So with ancient stories, they are all we have to go on. If there are any other stories that back up those stories, then they raise the probability of it being true, or at least parts of it being true. There are some extra biblical stories that back up parts of the Bible, so it raises the probability that some of the Bible is true. If we consider the Bible much like a number of journals brought together in one book, we can probably say there are a number of things in there that happened close to as it's been described, though others will argue, and rightly so, that we are always the heroes of our own stories. Therefore, there will be bias in these entries as well. We can also imagine many of these stories passed down by oral tradition. If you have ever played the telephone game, you will know that even one sentence whispered around a room can be changed through light mishearing. This is compounded by the fact that these stories would have been told by people that wanted to make them more interesting, and over time would have been exaggerated more and more. This lowers the probability of the stories in the Bible or any other ancient holy book being true, but it doesn't make them completely false. Indeed, there are many things we can discuss in regards to the Bible that can make us raise or lower the probability of the stories being true. But essentially, the Bible is evidence in this regard. I would conclude again, it is weak and unconvincing evidence. And in a conversation, I would discuss why, rather than just trying to shut the conversation down as not evidence. So in summary, evidence is something that raises or lowers the probability of a conclusion. There is nothing truly self-evident, as it requires an agent to process it. Evidence has a subjective element to it. If someone regards something as evidence, we should treat it as such and, if required, explain why the evidence is weak or unconvincing. Arguments can be used as evidence for or against something. Holy books are evidence, albeit weak and unconvincing evidence. So, that was it. You know, it's a short video from me. Hopefully you found it somewhat informative. It went on a little bit longer than I intended, so I do apologize for that. I will try and keep them shorter in future. But as I said before, anyone who has got any feedback on any of this or is interested in a more in-depth look at the topic, please let me know in the comments or on social media or by email. And please visit us at answersinreason.com.